views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The rug was pulled out from underneath her. She didn't feel confident. She didn't know if she could make it. Yet she rose like the phoenix, leading herself and her family into a new beginning. And you can too. Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show Lady Boss knows what women want: to be free to speak their voice, live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Join Cornelia, Dana, and Chris the first and fourth Friday every month as they raise the roof to inspire confidence in all women.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm super excited about today's topic because we are back with my co-host, Dana Terrio, and we're going to be, this is part three of Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life. So you definitely want to get a pen and a paper and sit back and just enjoy this wonderful, wonderful educating discussion. Have you thought about what's true for you when it comes to getting a cancer diagnosis? Do you believe that prevention is possible? Does a family history of cancer fuel a future fated with cancer? Is it your belief that if you get cancer once, that you will get it again? Is there really such a thing as cancer-free after cancer? Do screening and treatment methods help or harm the human body? Whether you are a man or a woman, do you feel driven to take inspired action to avoid getting cancer? Or do you simply do your best to be healthy with a live and let live approach? Today's show is all about for you to receive a free gift on this show, so see how you can handle your health with affirmative advocacy and a determined mind to take a stand for one precious life, your precious life, by Vibrant Designs versus Victim Default. Meet my co-host, the legendary patient and lifetime Lady Boss advocate, to see for yourself what is possible with 25 years of survivorship. Dana Terrio, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Cornelia, thanks. That was our big applause for our guest today. I'm not that legend, but yeah, I am happy to be back. But that is our guest coming on, yes, Anne.
Wonderful, wonderful. So let us do a recap right now and talk about what we've experienced in show one and show two of the first Lady Boss show, when we told your story, and how, give us a recap of what your story was of 20 years of being overscreened and underdiagnosed.
That was it, effectively. I was faithful to mammograms for 20 years. On the 20-year anniversary of my first benign lumpectomy, I had a cancer diagnosis. So every year I was faithful to the process of mammograms. And I also did ultrasound to support it too, because I understand ultrasound picks up the subtleties. That's what I was told. So I did that. And then the 20-year anniversary, I got the diagnosis, but it was not through mammograms, which was shocking because I started so young. And I got the diagnosis at age 44. So the first show, part one, is all about the diagnosis. 20 years of mammograms with effectively no diagnosis. And then part two, we brought our Purple Power Kit, where we can take go pro on proactivity, where we can learn through skillful self-breast examinations. So that was a real thrill for me that we brought on Dr. V, and she's helped me on my journey as I come on 2 years right now, post-mastectomy in August, and she's really helped me so much. So now I'm very grateful that we're able to help women now with this kit that they can determine for themselves. Getting to know the landscape of their ladies, like Dr. V says, get to know the geography of your body and sense when something's different. So that was our big coming out for the second show, the big reveal. And then here we are today.
Yes, and I want to tell our audience that if you haven't seen the first and second show, you can go to Cornelia Stephanie YouTube channel and go listen to part one and part two, because they're both so informative and there was such well-rounded information shared that you might find yourself in that exactly, this is exactly what you needed to hear. So this beautiful kit that Dr. V brought talked to us about the last time when she was here, I actually received one in the mail. And here's what the kit looks like. It's called My Breast Friend, right? So Dana, can you tell us a little bit more about this? Because you are a affiliate of this product. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was such an honor because I had participated in the documentary from my experience with everything. And so I was happy to partner with Dr. V in the coming out of this. So this tool really is a training system. And what is really pretty miraculous about this is that physicians have been trained. They have to learn somehow. So clinically, physicians have been trained on this very training system right here for over 30 years. And so now they partnered with Dr. V and they approached her and asked her to take it to the marketplace. So yeah, it's very exciting because it has different degrees and depths, so we can touch and feel, like literally the power of our fingertips. We can sense and we can know what's different and feel what could potentially be a cancerous lump. Dr. V says the good news is that 8 out of 10 lumps are not cancerous, but it's good to know. And the big takeaway for all of us here is that this lets us know and that it's not just once a year, but if we can do it monthly and get to know our geography, then we'll be able to determine what's not feeling right. So yeah, it's a great tool.
It is. And so here's a sample. So this is like a template, just this the size of your breast. And it's beautiful. I don't know if you can really see, but it's got a few lumps in here and small ones and larger ones, so that you can actually practice feeling what it would feel like. And yeah?
Yeah, when you open up the pretty purple box, when you open it up, it's all illustrated right there exactly, because usually we can train our fingertips that we can detect, this is the beauty of early detection, that we can detect when it's as small as a pea versus typically it's very common for women to detect it when it's the size of a golf ball or a small orange. So that's a big difference.
That is. Yeah, it definitely has a little card in there and tells you exactly what to do. It's got instructions and it's beautiful because it gives you the ability to detect breast, prevent breast cancer, because you can use it as part of a monthly regime, right?
It's a practice, like anything. It's a practice. It's cultivating those healthy habits, and it takes time, but at least once a month. Mammogram is just once a year.
Yeah. Now, where do people get access to this? We have a link for people, right?
We do, yeah. It is mybreastfriend.com/Dana, and it's all self-evident, and it explains it all right there. And it's also a wonderful gift, too. So it's, what can we say, the gift of life. It's great. And it just gives ease of mind, if nothing else. And I know our guest today is going to be here to talk to us about this, too, in that the fear factor. It's all about Dr. V's mission is to save lives one breast at a time and for women to never fear breast cancer again. And so our guest today will be talking about that too, beyond breast cancer and all cancer. Just let go of that fear factor. And it puts the power back in our fingertips.
Yes. And we're going to be introducing our guest here in a few moments, but she did say that early detection is not the same as prevention. Prevention is not developing a disease at all. I support the earlier. So it's going to be great as we're going to go into this discussion. Do you have anything else that you want to let our audience know, Dana, from part one and part two of the show that we've done before we move on?
In review, I know that we've discussed, you know, my experience, then we discussed what we can do. For you, I wanted to ask you to have a little exchange with you, because I wanted to know from your experience, because you shared with us that you went through this with your mother, and I really want to take the sting out of it, whether there's a familial history or not, a random diagnosis, that for you, you did go through this with your mother. How do you feel now that you're gifted this pretty purple package? Does this alleviate any fear for you? Because I didn't have a mother that faced breast cancer. I'm considered a random, so I don't have a history of it per se.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a wonderful tool that I can use to, you know, enhance what it is that I'm already doing, right? Because I know that, like, self-care is so important, and the breasts represent nurturing. And just like when my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, I, you know, right away I looked up what would be a positive affirmation for what she was experiencing, how she can love and how she can nurture her breasts. What is the positive self-talk? What is the love and the nurturing that she can give? So that is the way that I supported my mother and also myself and my clients as well over the years with, you know, loving your breasts, nurturing yourself, taking good care of yourself, and really feeling good in your body, having that positive mindset, not saying negative things to your breasts, or not taking care of yourself, but really taking care of yourself, doing, you know, self-nurturing acts. Where maybe before that wasn't the case in your reality. So that's part of my prevention, you know, staying healthy in that way. And also, I did go in with my mother to her doctor, and I asked, you know, am I a candidate for this cancer as well? And he said no. So I don't know exactly what kind of breast cancer that was, but. He said that I was not a candidate for it. So, and also, you know, I just really am strong and stable in my regime. So, and I feel good with where I am with what I'm doing. So, and I appreciate receiving this, because this is just going to add more to it and also help so many other women as well.
That's right. It's an adjunct to what you're already doing, because you are already practicing with the healthy breast protocol, the way you live your life. That is your healthy breast protocol. So this being, you know, an add-on to what you're already doing, it's the perfect accompaniment.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is just also such a great gift to give to women, to give to, you know, the younger women that are just coming up. And then, you know, to all the women, really, it's a beautiful gift to be able to, even what it is that we're sharing here with this message that we're bringing out and making it accessible for so many people, we can support their own, you know, health, right?
That's right. And you are already practicing and living a very powerfully potent, proactive lifestyle. But there are others that are not. There's so many that are so fear-ridden, and that's what I want to take the sting out of. So that's what we're happy to do here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Why don't we take a quick break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and when we come back, you're going to introduce us to our special guest that's going to support us with this conversation today. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Lady Boss Part 3. I am so honored and grateful to have our guest today. I'm honored to introduce the legendary patient and lifetime Lady Boss advocate, holding and healing strong now for 26 years of survivorship. Welcome, Anne. Anne was first diagnosed with breast cancer back in January of 1993, thus making her a 26-year cancer survivor. Due to multiple chemical sensitivities, she refused chemotherapy. Fearful of heart damage, she also ixnayed radiation. But what to do? Anne chose to explore holistic approaches and ended up with so much information, she founded a nonprofit, as one does. The Annie Appleseed Project website has been online since June 1999 and has had millions of visits. Anne is known, actually famous, for asking the tough, provocative, penetrating questions at cancer conferences, and is a very active advocate for people with cancer and change. She's connected to so many advocacy groups worldwide and has served on grant review panels and many committees, and likes to share evidence-based information about simple natural cancer strategies, lifestyle changes, and holistic approaches. Anne is happily married now for over 30 years to a supportive man who calls himself the good man behind the great woman. They love their stepson and two grandkids and visit them as often as possible, but only in the good weather, as they now live in South Florida. Well, you made me a believer, Anne. I'm coming to your conference in February, but I'm an unusual Canuck because I love Canada and I love the cold and the four seasons, so I'm funny that way. So much more about you, Anne. I learned also that you've been nominated for the WeGo Health Awards, just to name but a few here. Number one, Best in Show Community. Number two, Patient Leader Hero. Number three, healthcare collaborator, patient. I mean, what else? It's been said that you are a tireless champion. That's what your supporters say. And I know I heard personally and from the stage, the Dr. McCullough proclaim from the stage that you are the go-to gal, the resource gal for breast cancer. So I am so grateful that you're here with us today. And I know that you are entirely unapologetic for being so, what can we say, just strong in your opinions. And that's what we're happy to have you here for, because you just are self-described as a very political person and invite people to you know, not look at your page if you want, because you've got a wellspring of resources there. So I don't even know which way to start first, because I want to say welcome to the show. First of all, I want to talk to you about your advocacy and about your experience. So number one, let's first out of the gates, welcome and tell us, what age were you? Because I understand this is in your DNA. This is your family history. What was the age when you started your advocacy work? Because I know it goes way back.
I'm guessing you don't mean cancer advocacy. You're talking about advocacy in general.
Yeah, just in general.
I was 12 years old when my mother took me to the big meeting in New York City on something called Sane Nuclear Policy to try to end the use of nuclear factories and nuclear weapons. And at that meeting, I got to shake hands with Eleanor Roosevelt, who was then the former first lady. And I was overwhelmed with the excitement of it all. It was great. And I vowed to be like her, you know, to always stand for principles. And that's what I've done. But, you know, it is inherited genes. My parents were like that. And I basically don't have one new idea. I've inherited everything. But you asked me how old I was when I was diagnosed. And I mean, how old I was, I thought immediately diagnosed. You said 44. I was 44 as well. But I didn't have 20 years of being tested. Why were you tested for 20 years? That's a long, long period from a young age.
That's right.
Did you have
That's
a lump at a young age? Or
I did. I had I call it skating. When you skate, when one can skate with a lumpectomy, as in there was no scar. I was 24 and I was, I discovered a benign lump. So that was taken care of surgically. So then I went into what I call and the machine, the watch and wait cycle of the machine. And then it was every year. Mammogram. So mm-hmm. You and I have walked parallel paths. We're both 44 and well, we've also made some similar choices too, but yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I was 24 years old. I had a lumpectomy and then every year after I had a mammogram. Invariably, my experience was that the first mammogram wasn't clear. I hear the imaging is not clear. So I have to go back for a targeted mammogram, which usually happens within about 2 weeks. And then after that, it follows with an ultrasound because it can pick up the subtleties is what I was told, where the mammography was better for determining and picking up the solid masses. So that was my party for 20 years. And then at the 20-year anniversary, I got the diagnosis, but not through mammography. That's the kicker, if you can stand it, not through mammography. So I discovered it myself. So that was my next question for you because it was the diagnosis or the advocacy. So you got started at age 12. So that's great because it's in your DNA.
In terms of the breast cancer world, I never expected to have it. I had no family history. And in 1993, my understanding was, oh, unless your mother has breast cancer, you don't get it, which of course is untrue. Let's just say up front, there's only 10% of the people diagnosed with breast cancer who have a genetic inherited mutation. I was not one of them. And I had something that is rarely mentioned. I had lobular carcinoma, so that most people get ductal. I had lobular. It's about 10% of all diagnoses. But what I found was a callus on my left breast at what's called 2 o'clock. So if you consider that the top, and I'm putting my hand here, the top of the breast is noon, and it's just like the clock. So at 2 o'clock,
okay.
2 o'clock, I developed a lump, actually a callus, as I said, which no one ever says callus. We know lumps matter. We know inverted nipple matters. We know what they call the orangey skin, rough thing. So I had a rough patch, and that's how I found it. And I had a lumpectomy like you, but I had 18 lymph nodes removed from my left, under my left arm. No express consent because no one told me that they were going to do it. And I developed lymphedema right away.
You know what? I didn't know that part. So thanks. I'm going to back up a bit just to clarify. So we were both 44. We both had 18 lymph nodes removed.
Ah.
I wanted to know, to clarify, please, what was the first thing you said? The callus and the, what did you say? They didn't have your consent for that removal?
I signed the paper to do whatever they were going to do. But I was already wearing a paper gown. I was already freezing cold and in the hospital and whatever. But no one explained it to me in any way. There was no pre-information. So I say it was done without my express or informed consent. And that's incorrect because you're supposed to be warned of the adverse effects. It's one reason that I'm so strong now as an advocate on informing people about adverse effects and protecting them from the horns, because 26 years later, I have lymphedema all these years. Now I stopped wearing my sleeve after 20 years, and that's pretty, or 22 years. My acupuncturist at one point said to me, your heart pulse on the left side is so weak, could you take the sleeve off? So I took the sleeve off. I just never put it back. It's not much worse. It's not really different. So I'm not sure, and probably some of your listeners know this, we don't know as much about lymphedema as we should. There's very little research done, and most of it is within confines. There's really no creative thinking about it, what to do with it, in my opinion. But anyway, that's a kind of a side note, but people do develop it, and it's a harm that lasts forever, never goes away. That's kind of a dread. I wanted to say something about having a mammogram in your 20s. Most of us have dense breasts. Did anybody ever explain that to you? Because it probably wasn't a valuable part of your follow-up, in my opinion.
That's right. I did. That was the constant refrain. That it was perennial. I heard it every year. I have dense, fibrous breasts. Apparently, yeah. I have fibrocystic breasts too, which many do. So I'm not unusual. I'm pretty, I don't know. I think I'm pretty generic in that sense. So the... Yeah. What was interesting in my experience too, because I was 24, the surgeon that did it beautifully. I skated without a scar. It was great. But I think there's something to be said for the date too. It dates us way back then. When I did the paperwork back then in my little hometown on the East Coast, it was basically an exploratory surgery. He said, you know, I didn't know what I was waking up to. They were going to determine once I was under the knife, I could have woke up with breast gone. When I signed away, I honestly had no idea what I was signing. And it was, I mean, I was 24. I was pretty, you know, I was young. I was terrified when I was going under. That's what they told me. I could have woken up. I don't even, my mother, you know, it's funny. I talk about it now so much with my mom, but I can't believe the things that were said to me at the time. And so like so many, well-intended, but unaware. And that's what they had to work with at the time. But to be told at 24, I'm going under the knife. I could wake up with a breast gone. That was alarming.
Yeah, that's really difficult. I was with a doctor who was gung-ho for lumpectomy, so that was interesting. I want to share with your listeners my philosophy. And that, you know, I couldn't do chemotherapy. But when I went to my support group, people were horrified that I wasn't going to do anything else. Yet the surgeon had told me, we got it all. That's a very common phrase. I just heard it yesterday from one of the people who called me to chat. And, you know, there's no way that they can tell that they got it all. Because they're looking at your flesh and blood, and all cells look the same, or it's a pathologist, and pathology is not an exact science. In fact, it's really highly recommended second opinion in every aspect of what you're doing, because so many errors are made. But from my perspective, the best way to reduce risk, along with testing, is to change your lifestyle. I mean, we know what we call the Western diet. What they call the standard American diet, and we're sorry we brought it to you, we brought it to everybody. But a standard American diet, aka SAD, is all about deep fried foods, way too much sugar, way too much of the wrong fats, too much animal product, not anywhere near enough fruits and vegetables. And for me, what I tried to do in my life was based on heart disease. I was worried about heart disease in my 20s, and I had a strong family history, as did my boyfriend at the time. And we decided quit smoking. That was a good one. And we both became vegetarians. We had four other young friends, two couples, and they all decided to be vegetarians together, all of us. And that was very, very good support group because we were together. But I traveled for business. And in the 70s and even the early 80s, when you went into a restaurant, they didn't know what a vegetarian meal was. And I used to have to say very clearly, I'll just take every vegetable you have, put it on my plate. That's all, you know, and don't boil it till it dies like my grandmother used to do. You know, I like it al dente. And then I would have a salad, but the salad was basically iceberg lettuce, not very healthy tomatoes, you know, and I'd have a baked potato with nothing on it, no butter, no sour cream, nothing like that. And it wasn't really healthy enough. Over time, as we all know, organically grown food became much more available. And I switched to that in the late 80s. But, you know, I think the reason that I developed breast cancer was that I had a lot of digestive problems all my life. Basically from birth, I was a colicky baby, stomach didn't work quite right. I couldn't always go to the bathroom. In fact, it became a point at which if I went twice a week, it was a great week. And doctors who my mother took me to or to whom I visited always said, oh, that's normal, dear. That's fine. And I was like, but I have a bellyache. I have, you know, people didn't understand. Now we know so much about the gut. We know that your mitochondria, the gut health, the bacteria, and I didn't have any good health. And, you know, breast cancer, they say it's too much estrogen in your system for the most part. When you don't go to the bathroom appropriately, you have never-ending amounts of estrogen that have nowhere to go. So I consider that was a real factor for me.
And I appreciate you that you explore the root cause, because as Dr. V says, cancer is cancer. And this is why I'm happy to open up the conversation to take it beyond breast cancer, because the milieu, what you're talking about, the mitochondria, they say it's been determined now through hard science, not science, that this is a metabolic cellular level. The mitochondria are the lungs of the cells. And really, that if that's the problem, it doesn't matter what, whether it's brain or breast, that's the problem. But that's getting into what cancer really is.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you look at the root causes, because it's a multifactorial disease. It's not a single cause. And that's definitely, there's so much to explore. And I mean, we're all over the map now, but I'm glad. I want to speak to your point about the heart disease, because I wanted to hear it from you, your personal story, which we can expand on that. But this is relevant here, because the heart disease, the cancer, and any type of cancer, and the diabetes, those are top of mind for concerns now. And the fault is ours in North America. It's all the industrialized countries, but it's our fault, the sad American diet, and even here in Canada. Dr. Dean Ornish, professor of medicine at University of California, this tells it all right here. With this is getting into our epigenetics talk, but what you said, I like what you said, thank you, that only 10% have the genetic predisposition, because Dr. Dean Ornish says, number one, change the diet. That's what you're talking about, the lifestyle of medicine. Start with food first. Number two, moderate exercise, loving movement. You don't have to be killing it. We can be champions of endurance, but we don't have to be sprinters. Number three, management of stress. And I always say the stress isn't going anywhere. So buffer it, just up the relaxation response, whatever it looks like for you. And then number four, social support. I always say community is immunity. I'm going to speak to your point. I know you love the power of the immune system. Those four factors right there, food first, moderate exercise, stress management. They say decrease stress, but okay, in the modern urban world, decrease as much as you can, but buffer it with relaxation response. Social support, those four factors alone, wait for it, I just love this, triggered 500 plus cancer discouraging genes that turned on the health promoting genes. So that's the power of lifestyle medicine, what you're speaking to. And you're talking about your first concern for heart disease, because that's, you know, that trumps with cancer too.
Yeah, no, that's very right. I mean, the epigenetics, it's a word that we need to understand, and that is genes that we can change with our lifestyle. There's inherited genes, you can't change them. You can still reduce your risks. And epigenetic changes reduce the risk for everybody, including people with the BRCA genes or any new genes are going to discover that are harmful, because we have the impact on our own lives. Some people who have the inherited disease don't develop it. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? The inherited tendency, excuse me. When you have the inherited mutation, you may not get breast cancer. You may not get other cancers. So that's really a question. But I agree with you. When I was listening to the introduction and you were saying nice things about me, and I always say every compliment is heard by my immune system and goes to support it immediately. And I feel that way. And it's been a long, you know, long road. So the Annie Appleseed Project, we have this card. You can see there are three squares and or rectangles. And these are squares. And these squares are our three steps for health. And the first step is eating one more fruit and one more vegetable a day. The second step is taking a walk. And the third step is taking deep breaths for relaxation prior to bedtime in a stressful situation, prior to treatment. And the reason that we made this simple card is because professionals get carried away. As you said, we're not all champion athletes. I'm married to one. He's an aging athlete now, but he is gung-ho, plays ball 3 hours every day. I would never do that, never. I do 20 minutes a day, and I'm happy with that. I've heard talks, and I've read the book called Instant Recess by Antoinette. I'm not good with names, so I won't even bother. But Instant Recess is about how 10 minutes of jumping around, dancing, playing, whatever it is, can be beneficial. The combination, though, is the best. It's the combination that puts us in the best health. You can be a champion athlete and not eat well. That's not great. You can eat well and not move at all. That's not great either. So the combination and handling stress, as you said, there's no person on earth, I don't care where they live, who doesn't have stress. Even if it's the stress of seeing you're living in a completely natural environment and you see a bear coming at you, you know, whatever it is, stress is there. So it's how we handle it. And I see people all the time. I get these calls. People say, I'm dying of cancer. I go, wait, you know, there's so much time to be dead. It's like eons. So focus on right now when we're living. Additionally, every cancer, no matter how bad, there's a range of 10% will survive, 30% will survive, 50, whatever it is. I say to people, and I believe this myself, put yourself in the survivor category right now. Why would you not? Why would you not envision yourself there? And affirmations, Cornelia mentioned that, and I'm really strong on that as well. I didn't appreciate it for a long time, but when I looked back at my cancer journey, I didn't know anybody with breast cancer or living with cancer at the time that I was diagnosed. And I heard a diagnosis on a Thursday, was scheduled for surgery Monday, which I said, oh, the worst cancer in the world. Oh, no. 4 days. Oh, my God. And I thought I was going to die on Monday morning. So I spent my, you know, Friday I went to work, which I had to work. And Saturday I lay in bed with my husband lying my butt off. Oh, yeah, no, everything's going to be fine. And thinking, this is it. And Sunday night at 8 p.m., this woman calls me and she says, you don't know me, but I'm a 10-year breast cancer survivor. Yes. And it just opened up everything. And I knew that I could survive.
I think that right there is the message for today. Is anyone that is listening to this, ladies, is that hear that you can survive, right? There's many things that we can do. Where is this the free gift that we're offering the audience, the card that you were just talking about?
The free gift is a handout from our website that is all about simple natural things to reduce the treatment toxicity from chemo or radiation or even surgery. We have simple things that are well evidence-based because that's what I do during the day. I read journals, I find the evidence. And, you know, the thing is, our medical profession, they're wonderful, but if you can't monetize it, they're really not very interested. But as a volunteer, I don't care about money, and a survivor, I really don't care about money. I want to help people like you do. So our handout is, let's say you're taking anti-nausea drugs. They call them, you know, the meds. So emetic drugs only help some subset of people, and unfortunately women less than men, which is sad. But if you have ginger tea, or if you sniff peppermint oil, you can actually reduce the nausea and reduce the vomiting. It's a simple thing. You don't hear about it because it's not a drug. It's not a money thing. But we've had that in our ideas for years. Same with acupuncture. I think, you know, I was lucky. My close friend became an acupuncturist. You see an acupuncturist, they can help with nausea. They can help with fatigue. They can help with headaches. They can help with, you know, with any kind of pain. They help with so many things. Acupuncture is a complete system of medicine. I don't practice it. I've had it on me, though, every week pretty much since 1991 when my friend stopped my menstrual cramps in 3 months, which was amazing how that happened, you know. And so acupuncture is something, it's my go-to, for sure. And everyone doing treatment should consider it.
Tell us the website where people can get the gift.
Yes, thank you. So annieappleseedproject.org. And if you go to the page, there's a search bar on the upper right-hand side, it's green, and you just put in the word handout, and you can download any of our handouts. We have one on constipation, we have one on chemo brain, we have one up for families, for children on reducing toxicity, or for adults. Or we have the postcard is featured on our website across the top. If you click on that picture, that icon, you can also come to the handout page. It's a very valuable tool because there's so many great things that really work. And why suffer so much? I mean, that's the thing. You know, I mentioned to you in discussion that I'm all about adverse effects. That's the harms that are done from treatment. It does not have to be so bad because of these simple natural things, but our world is not set up to accommodate it. And unfortunately, especially in the U.S., it is not covered at all by our insurance, including acupuncture, although yesterday the Medicare Center for Medical Services announced that they're going to allow payment for Medicare for acupuncture for back pain. It's a start. You know, I've been saying for the last 11 years we should cover acupuncture. But these are things that are important to people and they can help, you know. So making dietary changes, I would say start reading labels right away. If you see anything with sugar added, back off. And I don't mean fruit because fruit is a whole food. food is not sugar. Food is, you take your nutrients, and there are thousands of them. We don't even know all of them. You get the fiber, and then eventually it becomes glucose. But when you take sugar, all it is received as glucose, period. It has no nutrients, and that's why it's an avoid wherever possible, or less. You know, we say start small, have one more fruit, one more vegetable a day. Anyone can do that, anyone. And then take a walk. You know, as Dana mentioned, we're not saying how far, how fast, anything like that. Just get active because your body needs it. I mean, that's a very basic trait. We are mammals, we're supposed to be moving. Obviously, we all live indoors, we're all under fluorescent lights or electrical lights, so we're not getting half of what we need. I'd also suggest to people getting vitamin D levels checked. It can be done, it's very simple, and everybody seems to need more vitamin D because we were born to be out under the sun. Even pale skins like myself, we should get more sun. So, you know, that's really critical. And then there are some dietary supplements that I love. I believe in detox as well. You can do skin brushing, you can jump a trampoline, you can do what I do, which is one coffee enema every day. And that handout is on our website as well, for the people who'd like to look it over. And it's been great for me. It cleanses the liver. And, you know, liver is pretty important. All the drugs go through the liver, all the chemicals in the environment, which I consider another cancer factor, big time for, you know, we're surrounded by chemicals and that's not great. But all of those things can make a difference. And, you know, if you're like me and you don't love exercise, then what I do is alternate upper body, lower body every other day. And I have a variety of tools that I use. I have free weights, I have a vibrating platform, which is also good for bones. Now that I'm 71, I have to be more cautious about, you know, bone health. I've never had a test because, of course, I lost bone density. That's what happens. I don't believe in getting scared for a test for no reason. You know, I don't do a test unless I have a plan. My plan is, this is what I'll do if it's a bad result or what they call a positive result on my plan. And then if there's not a bad result or a negative result, I have a plan for that too. I don't go into it blind because then you get blindsided and, you know, that's not a good thing. When you're nervous and you get upset, all of a sudden you can't deal with it as well as if you pre-plan. Pre-planning has been very useful for me. But now we have the internet. You can actually find out what it is you need to know prior to a test, you know. One of the things about PET scans, which I've never done, and that's a question I give myself all the time, should I do a PET scan? And then I say, okay, it's radioactive. I'm not really a fan of that. But what would I do if I had more of whatever, you know? And I wouldn't change things so dramatically, so I don't do PET scans. It's not worth it to me. It's my personal thing. I recommend you do whatever is comfortable for everyone in the audience, you know. But I feel like, for me, I need to be really careful. I'm chemically sensitive, as was mentioned, and that affects me in many ways. For years, I used to go to meetings with a mask on and literally go up to speak and take the mask off just when I spoke because something in the environment was so troubling to me that I'd have a raging headache afterwards. And usually, I'm very allergic to vinyl, leather, and plastic. I'm allergic to people's fragrances, to cleaning products, and fake wood. That's everywhere. But, you know, here's the thing. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer, recurred for 9 years. And then I met a Chinese herbalist at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium. And he gave me a prescription for Chinese herbs. And after a while, I took it. And then I had such a strong reaction. I got hives all over my whole body. But when the hives went away, my chemical sensitivity symptoms changed and the intensity changed and reduced a lot, which is why I'm here with no mask, having a normal-ish kind of life. You know, I still have my mask in my fanny pack and I have to have it sometimes. But overall, that changed my life too. Now, here's something that's interesting. So I eat organic just about 100%. I work out every day for about 20 minutes and I love my life and I'm happy, as you know, I mentioned, happily married, which I could have been voted in high school least likely to marry, but hey, things worked out, you know. So I didn't have any children, but I ended up with grandchildren. I mean, life is good. But in January of this year, I had a lump in the groin, left groin, and I went and had a biopsy with no expectation. And it turned out to be a disease called follicular lymphoma. So now I'm dealing with the second and completely different kind of cancer. And the way that I'm working it is with Chinese herbs, with homeopathy, with dietary supplements. And I have a giant sign in my bathroom that says, I'm melting. And so that's my plan, because I still can't do chemotherapy because of my chemical sensitivity. I mean, here's how I knew. When I had the first surgery in January of 93, I didn't sleep for 6 nights. That was how anesthesia affected me. I could not fall asleep. So from then on, any kind of pharmaceutical that I tried has been like a sledgehammer when I need a little tiny tap. So I tap myself with natural medicine. For me, that works. I've had many things that have been healed with natural medicine. And it's not because Anne Font is so special, you know, it's not like that. But years ago, somebody told me you could rid yourself of internal scar tissue using cocoa butter. And I started doing that. And I wrote it on our website, a little article. People from all over the world contacted me. Oh, we use that in our house. Oh, my daughter had this. Lots of people have used it. And we informed and educated and found the research to share with people. Another thing, when I had my first series of recurrence, my second surgeon, who was a lovely woman who I'm still friendly with, opened up the original drain site because she said we have to check there for cancer. So she sews it back up, and the next day it burst, and I have this open wound. Now, I don't react well to Band-Aids because they're sort of plastic. So I was all blistered up, and she couldn't sew it again because the skin wasn't going to work. So every day I'm visiting her for a week, and it's open, it's wide open. And one day I'm reading an article, and I see that aloe vera from the aloe vera plant can close wounds. And I had a plant on my windowsill in the kitchen, and I took a leaf, I ran it under the sink water, and squeezed it into my area and closed overnight. And I brought that paper and myself to my surgeon, and I said, look at this, you know, this is evidence-based and also real person that it happened to. So that was great. One day I saw my file, and you know, my file was like this gigantic pile of papers that nobody ever saw but she and I. That was kind of sad. I thought I was turning her on to a whole new thing. That didn't work out. But anyway, so you see, my philosophy is to go forward with everything and not worry and to deal with it. So follicular lymphoma turns out very slow-growing cancer. That was the hallmark of the breast cancer that I had. Even though I had 25 tumors in all, 14 after mastectomy, not all at the same time, but 2, 4, 3, 1, okay? All of them except the first one grew slower than normal cells. And I know that because of lifestyle and the things I was doing, as outlined in our discussion, made that difference. And I believe it will make a difference again. So I feel very optimistic. And now I know doctors all over the world to consult with. I have friends all over the world. I have the good wishes of lots of people. And, you know, that's great.
And I'd like to say thank you. And when you're talking about the doctors all over the world, I heard you say in another interview that you interviewed your second surgeon, the lady that did the second surgery for you. That's the mindset I'd like to cultivate for women and men too. The importance, the value of a healing mindset, and the importance of a consumer mindset, that we are people with choice. Like you said, you're not cancer patient in room 7C, you're Anne. You are a person with a name, you're three-dimensional, some say more dimensional, but you're a real person. So it's so important that, if nothing else, for people to take that away, that we have choice, because we both had some pretty, I think, horrid experiences. And I mean, I had the chief of oncology here at a renowned hospital in Toronto tell me that, I mean, it's positively, absolutely asinine that he said to me that not to change my diet. Diet didn't matter. He didn't even ask me what I was eating. He just wanted to get her done, put me through the chemo mill, and which I did in advance of the mastectomy, because at first I was supposed to have a mastectomy on a Wednesday, but then they said, oh no, we find out that there is disease in the lymph nodes, so switch it. So it was just like, you know this, that doctors have different opinions. That's why you're saying about have the second opinion. So it's so important to have that. Lifestyle medicine matters more than anything, but have that consumer mindset, because my experience here in Ontario, for me, I think it would be pretty much a cancer conservative province, because I flew out to a doctor in BC. Here in Canada, British Columbia is a very integrated province. They work in harmony. And the doctor out there said, Dana, what happened to you was barbaric. I didn't know people still did that. You had 18 lymph nodes removed. I mean, and you did too. It's just, there's so many different opinions. So it's important to meet different people and get different opinions. And I've heard you say also that there's a preponderance of evidence out there. That's great. Now what? We have to interpret it. What I like about you, Anne, is that you are unbounded medically. You're unencumbered legally, so you have no legal, you can use anything. You can ask anyone anything. You can ask those tough questions. So we all get to do that. It's not just the select few. Like you say, you're not special. If it works for one person, it can work for someone else, even though it's not all cookie cutter design, which can be going through the mill. It feels like, anyway, you know, the whole.
Yeah, you obviously know a lot about me. You're using some of my phrases. I'm very, very thrilled here. This is great. But of course, I agree with you. It is up to us. My husband used to say to me, my husband has a different last name than me. And the doctor would come in and say, oh, hi, Mr. Fonda. And I'd say, no, his name is Mr. Wallman. And Steve would say, no, don't upset the doctor. You don't have my health proxy, but, you know, there's no possibility. I have to have somebody who's, you know, able to take on the medical profession or a doctor. Yeah, the thing is, they work for us. A lot of people are afraid to upset their doctor. They don't discuss their pain, their suffering, their problems with the doctor. They're afraid something will go wrong. Doctor will fire them or not give them medicine. That's the wrong attitude. It is about us, and it has to be. And, you know, we can educate ourselves. Now, there's a subset of people who don't want to know anything, but they're probably not listening to the show, so you don't have to really worry about them. But that's, you know, that's a really big issue. I mean, that's why we hold our conferences every year in West Palm Beach. And our next one, by the way, is February 27th, 28th, 29th. I hope you do come down. Then it will be great. It's really fun.
I shall be there.
We bring in speakers from all over the world, some who run clinics, some who see patients. We have a patient panel, so it was our most popular segment. And people talk about their real stories. So, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has created a thing in which your real story is at the bottom of the evidence rung. Why is that? It doesn't make any sense, but because they're in charge, they made it that way. Oh, your story. And I said, no, these are people's truths. They're very powerful, and they impact real people. Yeah, you know, you're not going to have the exact same outcome as me necessarily. But hey, it's worth knowing that it's possible. It cheers people up to know that they're survivors. Obviously changed my whole life to know that. And I really feel like it's something we should share. So at our conference, we have only organic food. We have organic giveaway items. We have amazing people. Everybody's got a piece of this puzzle, and they all share. Our speakers sit at lunch with us. We all are together. It's a very, very good thing, and it's our 14th coming up next year. That's how I know it's going to be really fun, because it's always fun. And we're thinking this year of maybe having fewer speakers and more interaction time, but we'll see. It's still up in the air. But we, you know, we try to respond to what's going on. I mean, a few years ago, we used, or maybe last year, immunotherapy as a concept for the conference. But over the years, we've had all sorts of stuff. We were the first conference at which a researcher talked about dogs sniffing cancer. Now you see that in the paper. It's a real thing, and it's moving forward. But it was told at our meeting in 2008. You know, that's a long time ago. Our first conference was 2008. We had two in 2012. It's a really important thing for us because we really need to know. And then I go to other meetings. I mostly go to mainstream meetings because I want to get information, but I also want to show them that there are people who are doing lifestyle changes that make a difference. You know, as you say, your doctor said, don't change. And my doctor said, doesn't matter what you eat. Your immune system doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you exercise. All things that were incorrect. I knew it at the time. And you knew it too. And it's important to ignore silly advice.
Yeah, I think what I love about how you're presenting all of this is how empowered you are. And that's really my takeaway with your approach is you, no matter what it is that you said, I'm going forward and I'm going to, you know, do my research and I'm going to come empowered. And if you go and, you know, approach your doctor that way with the information that you already have, then they're there to work with you and give you the support that you right. need.
I agree. And most of them want to work with us. Most of the doctors are really caring and they're really trying hard. One of the things we say is if you see an article on our site or our Facebook page that you like, download it, you know, print it out and bring it and share it. The doctors, you know, they're pressured from every direction. They don't have a lot of time, but if you can get their attention, that's a good idea. And it's a good thing to work with them, of course. I have doctors I love. I just didn't have any of them as my doctors. That's the way it goes. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, here's one thing that I said. If you go to your doctor and your doctor says, oh, I wouldn't do that. You know, and you say, what is your evidence for saying no? Because the evidence, if it exists, we'd like to know. It doesn't exist. They're just saying, I don't know much about it. Therefore, no, that's not a good direction. Really want to do it in a way that matters for yourself. And everyone's different.
If I may, Anne, I'd really like to speak.
You know, we have 3 minutes till the end. We have three minutes. Actually, it's 2 minutes now. So what would you like to ask of?
I really want to speak to the point, not because you're being defiant or accessing your inner rebel. For you, you had extreme chemical sensitivities. I remember passing out in church when I was in high school. And you ixnayed the radiation, you know, that you were anti-nuclear activist, might be a moral hazard for that too. So that, you know, these are things, even if you wanted to, it just wasn't in your body's ability or willingness to do it. So what to do, that I want to speak to the point that there's the conventional stuff that's offered, but then to research, because I, like you, I got tattooed. I was walking two paths until one became clear to me. And I've heard you say too that not everybody will benefit from chemotherapy, but everybody will be harmed. There are adverse effects to the treatment. And this is important. I want people to go to your site, Annie. You are the wellspring of resources for anybody, man, woman, for whatever cancer going through, to know, learn how they can support themselves. I think this is really important because you say, Anne, that there are many paths to wellness. And I 100% stand by that. So for whatever choice someone makes, because we're all about empowered choice, whatever they do, source the correct information, because they're sifting and sorting. I don't know how you determine relevance and continue to qualify, but you do. You are so cutting edge, and I thank you and applaud you for that and all the liberties that you take. Yes, I want everyone to support themselves.
Thank you, everyone. We're out of time. It's been a wonderful show. It's been informative. Thank you, Annie, for being here, and Dana, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you, ladies. Man, that flew by.
Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, Women Inspiring Women, featuring leading-edge entrepreneurs who are putting the focus on empathic leadership in today's modern-day world. Text the word Cornelia to the number 22828. And receive her weekly newsletters. For more information on Cornelia Stephanie and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to corneliastephanie.com.